From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For a couple of years, President Obama had quietly straddled on gay marriage. He wasn't exactly here or there. His views were evolving, he said. Yesterday, they evolved. For the first time in history, a sitting president of the United States, Barack Obama, endorsed same-sex marriage.
At a certain point, I've just concluded that, for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Americans' views on gay marriage have evolved a lot in recent years. Half or more now say they support it, but 31 states say no. Big swing state North Carolina said no loudly in a vote just 2 days ago. This hour on Point, the history just made and the road ahead, the politics of gay marriage. You can join the conversation. Are you with the president on this one? Are you celebrating? Not? And how will the country respond to this move in November? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. The president talking with ABC yesterday, saying that there was a kitchen table conversation that became very important in his thinking about this. He noted that for the younger generation of Americans, same-sex couples, parents, are just a fact of life.
There have been times where Michelle and I have been sitting around the dinner table and we've been talking and about their friends and their parents, and Malia and Sasha, it wouldn't dawn on them that somehow their friends' parents would be treated differently. It doesn't make sense to them. And frankly, that's the kind of thing that prompts a change of perspective.
We're going to hear a number of voices in this hour, and yours. We start in Washington. Karen Tumulty is national political correspondent for The Washington Post. The headline on her latest story is, Obama's gay marriage stance brings uncertain political fallout. There's a lot to talk about there. Karen, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be back.
So we all heard Joe Biden just this weekend. He's comfortable with it. Then Arnie Duncan. What do we know about exactly how the president came to this decision to make this endorsement of gay marriage now?
Well, the president says that he had made this decision a while back and that he intended to announce his support for gay marriage before the election, before even the convention, but that, as he put it, Joe Biden got a little bit out over his skis and kind of forced the issue now. And I think that, you know, in part, that this is not really what the White House and what the president wanted to be talking about at this point, you know, so soon after the kind of official launch of his campaign last week.
But here they are talking about it. We'll come to those politics, and they're hot. I mean, this was huge in North Carolina just this week. Here was the president, and this is yesterday again, talking with Robin Roberts of ABC, first explaining why he had hesitated to make this endorsement in the past.
I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, you know, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth.
But he went on to say that in his conversations with the First Lady Michelle Obama, their faith, their Christian faith, came deeply into play in his decision, said the president.
We were both practicing Christians, and obviously this position may be considered to put us at odds with the views of others. But, you know, when we think about our faith, the thing at root that we think about is not only Christ sacrificing himself on our behalf, but it's also the golden rule. I figure the more consistent I can be in being true to those precepts, the better I'll be as a dad and a husband, and hopefully the better I'll be as a president.
Karen Tumulty, how do you see the mix of history, politics, morality in this declaration yesterday?
Well, it is a historic declaration. There's no doubt about it. But the fact is, the country has been moving this direction. There's this odd dichotomy because you put this question on the ballot, as it has been more than 30 times in states since 1988, and every single time it comes down as a ballot against gay marriage. But if you look at how people feel about the subject, there has been a shift, a big shift. In the last year, every single poll, including our poll at the Washington Post now says that a narrow majority of Americans, somewhere between 51-52%, support the idea of same-sex couples being allowed to marry. And the within those numbers, there are very, very deep partisan differences. Republicans overwhelmingly oppose it. Democrats overwhelmingly support it. But I think the more important difference is the age difference, that young people very much support gay marriage. And in fact, many have embraced it as the great civil rights cause of their generation. And I have talked to evangelical pastors who will tell me that as they look out at the young people in their own view, in their own pews, they know that it is not a question of if, but when gay marriage is coming.
The president cast it, and we just heard it, Karen, in powerfully moral terms yesterday, citing very explicitly his religious faith, the golden rule, and all the rest with Michelle Obama. But he is also a politician, and he must be looking at North Carolina. It's a big swing state, and it just went the other way. How do you think that his team is looking at these key swing states, including that one, where the Democrats will have a convention this summer around this issue?
Yeah, I think North Carolina is going to be a tough, tough prospect no matter what. And I suspect somewhere there are people who are regretting that they decided to put their convention there. But I do think that the downside risk for the president is going to be limited by one factor in North Carolina, and that is the African-American vote. African-Americans have voted are among the most skeptical of gay marriage, and yet I find it hard to believe that this issue is going to be enough to pull them away from Barack Obama.
I'm interested in all the poll numbers, and this is from your poll, Washington Post, ABC, just in March, so very recent, where you've got that 52% saying gay marriage should be legal of Americans. And yes, a party difference, Democrats supporting 64% to 32%. Republicans, though, 57 to 39%. I mean, it's a gap, but in your poll anyway, it's not a grand canyon.
It's not. And again, it's a moving number. And we have seen some very prominent Republican voices come out in favor of gay marriage, including Dick Cheney. I mean, Joe Biden was not the first sitting vice president to say that people should be allowed to marry who they want to. Dick Cheney has a lesbian daughter. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the big things that is happening in our society. And that is that, you know, as gay relationships themselves have come out of the shadows, more and more people actually know people who live openly, you know, as gays. And they see their families and they meet their children, as the president was talking about. And that is probably doing a lot more to change attitudes, I think, than, you know, anything that is done or said by politicians.
It's so interesting to see who lines up where. You report Senate Majority Leader, Democrat, of course, Harry Reid, Nevada, saying yesterday, still kind of in that pre-announcement Obama position, that his personal belief is that a marriage is between a man and a woman, but he talks to his children and grandchildren, and it's clear to him that in their generation, it will be different.
And like I said, I'm struck too that if you have a, you know, private conversation with a lot of evangelical pastors, even, you find that they are having the same, you know, the same conversations with younger people. I think that it's just something that young people don't understand why this is an issue.
And yet there are those, what is it, 30, 31 states now with constitutional amendments saying no to this. And Mitt Romney in Oklahoma yesterday at the state GOP headquarters there, here he was talking about the issue that was on the president's lips yesterday. Here's Mitt Romney.
My view is that marriage itself is a relationship between a man and a woman, and that's my own preference. I know other people have differing views. This is a very tender and sensitive topic, as are many social issues, but I have the same view that I've had since running for office.
Tender and sensitive, Mitt Romney says, but firmly there, saying between a man and a woman. Do you think that the Romney campaign is really going to jump on this as an issue? Do they see it as a big club against the president or not?
I don't think you're going to hear Mitt Romney or the Republicans talking a lot about it. Now, this has helped Mitt Romney a great deal in one sense. I think that all of those social conservatives who were having a lot of trouble coming around to the idea of enthusiastically supporting Mitt Romney are not going to be having that that much trouble thanks to this issue. But the Republicans run a risk here, as do the Democrats, if they talk too much about this, in that it will look as though they are taking their eye off the main issue that people care about in this election, which, you know, is jobs and the economy.
So how do you look at it, Karen? Do you see a president who has made history in becoming the first sitting president to endorse same-sex marriage? Could he make history and lose an election as a result, or is this election going to be decided at some other level of the game?
I think this election is still going to be decided on other issues, but I do think, again, that both sides run a real risk of sort of overplaying their hand on this.
How do you think that will be tempered in the weeks ahead? I mean, is this going to quietly recede again? Will Obama bring it forward to rally the troops? Will Romney bring it forward to rally the troops, or, you know, to hit the brakes?
Well, Obama's team is already, you know, within hours of the announcement, they had a fundraising email out. But I was struck as, and my immediate question was whether this was going to raise some kind of concerns and expectations on the part of gay activists, whether they were going to expect the president, for instance, to be campaigning in Maryland, where there's a ballot initiative, whether they were expecting him to put, you know, some kind of effort into a federal law. But when I talked to Chad Griffin, who is a big fundraiser, he said, no, we do not expect him to become a big activist on this issue.
It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. For the moment, history made. For it or against it, it's a big marker in what many are describing as the civil rights campaign, maybe of this early century, others saying no. President Obama's new support of gay marriage and the politics of gay marriage this hour. Karen Tumblety, please stand by. Listeners, join us. What is your reaction to the president's new position? Yes to gay marriage. 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about President Obama's new support for and the politics of gay marriage. Karen Tumblety joins us, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Jeffrey Bell and Richard Kim join us in just a moment here. You can join us as well. Are you cheering? Are you disappointed? Is this history? What kind? Are you on the president's evolutionary path here? Have you been out front and waiting? Are you digging in, resisting? And how does this work politically for the president? Will the country follow him? We're at 1-800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Karen, let's listen to just a little bit of that evolutionary arc of the president. Here he was in 2004, a U.S. Senate candidate for him with WTTW Chicago Public Television. Then U.S. Senate candidate Barack Obama firmly stated that marriage, in his opinion, was not a civil right for all.
What I believe in my faith is that a man and a woman, when they get married, are performing something before God, and it's not simply the two persons who are meeting.
And the president in 2010, December, following his repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, told ABC's Jake Tapper he struggled with the fact that gay Americans could fight and die in the military and still not enter into legally supported marriages.
My feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle with this. I have friends. I have people who work for me. Who are in powerful, strong, long-lasting gay or lesbian unions. And they are extraordinary people. And this is something that means a lot to them and they care deeply about.
The president grappling with this issue just in December of 2010. And then Joe Biden on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday blew it wide open.
I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying women are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
All the civil rights, all the civil liberties, and yesterday the president saying, I support same-sex marriage. Richard Kim is with us right now, executive editor of TheNation.com, joins us from New York. Richard Kim, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me back on.
And Jeffrey Bell joins us from Jefferson City, Missouri, Director of Policy at the American Principles Project, a conservative Washington advocacy group. He's a contributor to the Weekly Standard, author of the book, The Case for Polarized Politics, Why America Needs Social Conservatism. Jeffrey Bell, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Richard Kim, you're openly gay. Here's a big step by the President of the United States. What's your response?
I'm absolutely heartened by President Obama's announcement yesterday. I think he did the right thing. It was a little overdue, in my opinion, but it's better now than never. And I look forward to the president and the Democratic Party pushing some legislation, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, trying to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, other elements in the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. We'll see just how much work the party does to make the president's statement yesterday a reality. Because as we know, what he said was that he is personally in favor of gay marriage, but that he still thinks that the state should be left to decide. And so there are 30, you know, states that have anti-gay marriage bans, and there is the Defense of Marriage Act in Congress and a challenge to that brewing in the courts. So there's a lot of room to go before there actually is marriage equality for gay Americans.
Karen Tumulty has shared the poll numbers with us. We've all seen them. Do you think the country pulls in behind the president here or resists? How does this work? You've seen those votes. North Carolina this week overwhelmingly saying no and put it in the Constitution, no.
You know, I think the most interesting thing about the country is that they don't really care all that much about this issue. When you poll people about the issues they care about, same-sex marriage in a recent Pew poll taken in April finished 18th on a list of issues, well behind jobs, the economy, Iran, gun control, birth control. It is not something that most Americans, whether you are for or against it, will decide how to cast their presidential ballot on these terms. So I just don't see this having much impact in the presidential election. And even if it does, you see independents now tilting towards a pro-gay marriage position. So I think all around it is either a wash or a small boon to President Obama's re-election bid. In North Carolina, I will just note quickly, it was a very, very low turnout election, something like 14% of the electorate voted. If you actually poll North Carolina citizens, a majority of them think that either same-sex marriage or civil unions should be in the law. And that was not reflected in the very small and conservative-leaning vote that happened on Tuesday.
Jeffrey Bell in Jefferson City, Missouri, what do you make of the president's history-making stand yesterday, wherever you come down on it, and how the country is likely to receive it?
Well, while I disagree with the president's position, I commend him for being more open in his advocacy of gay marriage. I think it was just a matter of time before he endorsed it. And I think what the political process and experts are going to be slow to internalize is that when a president makes something a defining issue of his first term, it then becomes a defining issue of his reelection. That is now unavoidable, in my opinion.
What makes it a defining issue? I mean, you heard, as Richard did, he put the preamble on it, my personal opinion. He didn't make a big national address about it. He hardly put it in thundering declarative terms. He said it, but he didn't exactly frame it as a defining issue, Jeffrey Bell.
Well, just the disagreement that's going to come out in the platforms. The Democrats are going to have a platform outright endorsing gay marriage now. The Republicans are going to retain their position against gay marriage. And it is a national issue, in fact. It is not a state-by-state issue, and President Obama is one of the people who's made it a national issue by his refusal to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. The Defense of Marriage Act was enacted 16 years ago by Congress, signed into law by President Clinton, in order to do just exactly that, to contain this issue as a state-by-state issue, preventing the Constitution from forcing one state to recognize the gay marriages of another state. And by not defending the Defense of Marriage Act in the courts, the president has, in effect, said it's operationally true that he believes it's a national issue, not just a state-by-state issue. Governor Romney has said the same thing. He thinks this. You can't have different definitions of marriage in different parts of the country, and therefore both of them are effectively for a national definition of marriage, and that's why it's going to be a defining issue and a very important issue for a lot of voters.
Karen Tumulty, what about that? Do you think the president, by saying let's leave it to the states, is kind of offering succor to those who are not with him on this because they've seen at the state level what happens?
Well, and one bit of irony in here, this Defense of Marriage Act, one of the people who voted for it was Joe Biden. You know, it's
lots
it's
of evolution
real,
here.
Right. It's a real question, I think, of whether, you know, as Richard would say, was saying, you know, expectations have arisen now that, you know, now that the president has stated what he believes in his heart, you know, what is he going to do? And again, this is what is touchy going forward. And at this point, his official position is that this is still, you know, an issue that is should belong to the states. Again, the same exact position that Dick Cheney has. But again, how both sides play this going forward, I think, is going to be really interesting to watch and will really determine whether, you know, essentially this issue has now been laid to rest or whether it is going to shape the campaign from here to November.
Let's hear from our listeners on this new day on this big issue. Gail in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Gail, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, the president was right in what he said. Yes, he was well overdue. He should have come out sooner. I believe that people should leave the rhetoric alone. Their rhetoric is who they close the bedroom door with. Look beyond that. People need love, and these people show a capacity of a compassion that America needs. Our political problem should be that we should fight for health care in this country and education, not whether people should have their rights when it comes to who they want to love. But I have great friends that are gay and lesbian, mm-hmm. and they are compassionate people. They help people, and this is what America should be about going forward.
Do you think it will help the president in November, or hurt him, or be neutral, Gail? What do you think?
It's not going to hurt him, because folks that believe that are already going to be against him anyway. It's not going to hurt him, and the young lady was right. The black community will support him. I am mulatto. You don't hear that a lot. I have both black and white family.
Okay.
And, yes, we're going to support him. Yes, he was right. Those people have a right to, no matter what who they choose to love and who they choose to be with. But I say it's all about love and compassion, and they have that in their heart.
Gail, we hear it. You're pointing at a higher star than politics here, and many will. Some may not. But I appreciate your call from Pittsburgh, and let me get one, New York. Malone, New York. James is calling. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Can I preface first by saying I think the founding fathers are turning over in their graves, because there's been information about what the founding fathers intended.
But if I may, James, maybe the founding fathers should turn over in their graves sometimes, right? The founding fathers made slavery A-OK in the Constitution.
No, I think when they recognized that God created and made man and gave them their ineligible rights, they knew that they were going against their time. But they recognized that men were men, human beings were human beings. But the fact was that they believed in the Bible, and the Bible says that God hates homosexuality. Jesus reaffirmed that in the New Testament by saying that man should not lay with man. Woman should not lay with woman.
And what about when President Obama brings his own Christian faith forward and says, it's the golden rule I'm looking at here, you know, treat others as you would yourself be treated?
If the news media would do their job, they would ask him, what Bible is he reading?
James, we've got it. Loud and clear. And if I may, one more, we'll go to my guest, Omaha, Nebraska, Paul. Thank you, James. Paul, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think that this whole issue has a real potential, at least, to energize young voters who we all know are otherwise apathetic by the numbers.
Though they were not in 2008, I guess.
In 2008, yeah. In 2012, I think that, a lot of times they just don't think there's any difference between the parties, or a lot of the different issues they just don't really relate to. But this is one, as we've been pointing out, that the young people really just don't understand why this is even an issue. And when they hear that this is the distinct choice between Obama and Romney on this issue, it may just be the one thing that brings them out to vote.
Paul, I appreciate your call as well. All three. Jeffrey Bell, what about the youth vote and the GOP? I mean, I don't know what polls you're looking at on that, but the young in general seem to have quite a different view broadly on this than their elders. How does that work out for the Republican Party?
Well, I think political correctness plays a large role, and I think that it'll help President Obama a bit with the youth vote. But I'd like to also address the issue of independents versus, say, swing voters. You know, independents may poll a certain way in the Northeast or in the Pacific West, but swing voters, whether they call themselves independents or lean Republican or Democrat, are very different in different parts of the country. And in the states where you have to win, mostly out in the heartland, to get up to 270 electoral votes, in swing states, swing voters are more socially conservative than they are economically conservative. In a state like Ohio, the average swing voter is socially conservative, but not as sold on Republican economics. So the independent voters may be socially liberal in New York State, but in any reasonably close election, that's going to go to Obama anyway. It's the states that are in doubt where voters tend to be socially conservative, and that's why this could be very much of a defining issue, an election-driving issue in November.
We're looking at President Obama's new support for and the politics of gay marriage. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Richard Kim, there's a, you know, in our first slate of callers, and right away you get this spectrum from, you know, it's the right thing, almost regardless of politics, to it's the wrong thing with political implications, and then generations are going to change this. Jeffrey Bell's not so sure that that will matter this time with the voters in the states. That will matter.
Well, you know, one of the things I think you need to look at is how the Republican Party did actually use this issue to turn out votes in the past. And so in 2004, there were 11 anti-gay marriage bans on the ballots. And there is some political science that suggests that that helped George W. Bush win some of those states. What has happened since 2004 is that you have most states that have a clear decision on marriage. Either they are for it and it's legal, like in Iowa or in New York. Or it has already been banned through these constitutional amendments. So the real issue here, I think, is actually turning out the Republican base. How much is that gonna manifest, particularly since, as we know, they feel very lukewarm about Mitt Romney. And there, I think it's essential for them to have these ballot initiatives. Just having this issue sort of lurk in the background is not really going to draw the base out. And in that regard, there's only one state, and that's Minnesota, that has this on the ballot in 2012. And there, Obama commands a 10 to 12 percentage point lead, and no amount of heightened turnout around this issue in particular is going to erase that.
Richard, I wonder what level you put this new position of the president's on. My colleague Jack Beattie is reminding us that Abraham Lincoln, 1860, campaigned on the platform of leaving slavery alone where it exists, Lincoln said. And then 1862, after the Union victory at Antietam, he gave a lift to the North. He issues the Emancipation Proclamation. 1960, JFK campaigns on a platform with a civil rights bill, but did nothing till Bull Connor's thugs came out in Birmingham, beating protesters there. And back he comes in 1963. You know, George Wallace tried to block black students at Alabama. Kennedy made a big speech pushing the whole issue forward. Is this step by President Obama yesterday in an interview with ABC on that level?
You know, I understand why President Obama yesterday said that he wants to sort of leave this up to the states. To me, that's more a signal to his supporters and to the parts of the Democratic Party and gay rights activists to not make this huge issue in the next year before the election. If you actually look at what he has supported repealing the Defense of Marriage Act and supporting legislation that Senator Dianne Feinstein put forward to do that. He has enacted Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I think to really be consistent in his position, it is a national issue. It is a federal issue. Only federal marriage rights will produce equal rights for gays and lesbians. And I think the president is there, and it'll take the second term to really move him there. And in some ways, it's out of his control. Congress has to act on the Defense of Marriage Act, or the courts have to overturn it. And there are several cases going forward in the court system that may reach the Supreme Court in the next year or two. And President Obama doesn't really have much play in that regard.
Jeffrey Bell, just got half a minute here. Long term, how do you see this playing? Do you see this as inevitable, sooner or later, or not, Mr. Bell?
I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I can tell you one rule of politics that I have. When you hear people say repeatedly that something is inevitable, that means that it's not. Because if it really were inevitable, they wouldn't bother to say that it's inevitable. Everybody would know it. So I think this issue is very much in doubt, very much up for grabs, and the debate is really at a fairly early stage.
Big wheels turning on a big social issue in this country with the president's statement yesterday. Jeffrey Bell, author of The Case for Polarized Politics, joining us from Jefferson City, Missouri. Jeffrey, thank you very much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Richard Kim, executive editor of The Nation at thenation.com. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Karen Templeby, please stand by. Listeners, you can join us. What do you make of the president's statement? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about President Obama's new support for and the politics of gay marriage. Karen Tumulty is with us, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. You can join us as well. What do you see in this statement? Is this history being made? Will it be reflected in the policy of states across this country? Or, so far, they've gone heavily, but by no means all, but heavily the other way. Romney supporters, does it feel like a gift? And when the president says it's up to the states, where does that leave the country? In 20 years, will gay marriage just be the way things are? All over or not? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. We'll hear in just a moment from North Carolina, where they had a big vote on this week. Let's go first to our listeners. Tim in Boston. You're on the air, Tim.
Hi, Tom. I just had a quick few comments. One, I'm kind of tired of religion being defrauded into the conversation, because if the government's going to use a religious definition of marriage to dictate government benefits, that's not separation of church and state. Two, it's all fine and well and good for Obama to support gay marriage, but put his money where his mouth is. It's not good enough to just say he's going to tell the Justice Department not to defend DOMA. And as for North Carolina, I thought constitutions were supposed to grant rights, not take them away. So I would feel a lot better about this if it weren't a campaign season. And this didn't seem like Joe Biden floating a test balloon to see how it goes over, and then Obama jumping in, and an ad campaign coming out slamming Romney against equal rights the same day. So,
Tim, we've got it, and I hear it. I mean, it's interesting. Lots of people commenting on this online, and lots of celebration there. Dave says, hooray. Today, who cares if it took time for the president to evolve? I'm a married gay man, and today's announcement brought tears of joy. As a boy, I could never have imagined this day. Russell says, so proud of President Obama for standing in favor of same-sex marriage. Talking about North Carolina, well, I mean, you've got obviously dissenters, too, and they're there in the comments, celebration, the whole range. Scott in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I had two comments. First, to the gentleman that's called earlier and spoke about the founding fathers turning over in their graves. And this comment goes out to people who are also very conservative. I wanted to point out that the founding fathers set up a democratic government and not a religious theocracy. And the second point is that as far as legally or as far as recognition of gay marriage, you want to focus on the fact that gay marriage is a legal issue. And as much as it is a social issue, and legally recognizing gay marriage does not mean that, people are going to have to, churches are going to have to perform gay marriages. It just means that through freedom of religion that we have in this country, all people are going to be respected the same and have the same rights. And I think that conservatives need to just focus on that and quit trying to be, the way that they are.
It's hard to stop being the way that you are, but leave some religion out of it and recognize the difference between the law and faith. We've got it. Scott, Scottsville, Kentucky. Christopher, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think Obama should have kept his mouth shut, because all it's done is just polarize this country even more than what it was. And it's just given the religious nuts more ammunition.
You think he'd be better off politically if he hadn't done it, but he says it's a matter of doing the right thing.
Yeah, I agree. It is. It was the right thing, but even if that's what he believes, he should have just kept his mouth shut, because, quite frankly, I have a problem with the whole my way of thinking is the only right way of thinking, and you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I think.
Scott, we hear that ambivalence. He seemed a little less black and white than that, leaving it up to the states. But even so, we've got it. And one more, Council Bluff, Iowa. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi. We were talking earlier about if it was a politically smart move for Obama to come out with this. And I just want to say, personally, I think gay marriage is a great thing, and I wish it, you know, I personally wish it it would happen and it were legal. But I feel like politically, it wasn't a very smart move on Obama's part, because the there's a lot of the Democratic base that is not okay with gay marriage. They might be okay with maybe, say, civil unions or extending some benefits, but you can't. I feel like gay marriage is on the extreme end of the Democratic spectrum, and playing to the extreme, he's leaving a lot of his Democratic base with a chance to hop over on Mitt Romney's side.
And Matt, you think that even in Iowa, where gay marriage is legal?
Yes, I do think that. I know a lot of, even though we were the second state to have gay marriage be legal, there are a lot of Democrats around here who maybe aren't as comfortable around gays as you'd think it would be.
Matt, I've got it. I appreciate your call. Let me get one from Ruby in Rock Island, then we'll go to North Carolina. Ruby, you're on the air. Rock Island, Illinois. Hi, Ruby.
Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Hi. What do you think?
I live on the border, actually, of Illinois and Iowa. I'm a minister. I live in Rock Island, Illinois. I work at a church in Clinton, Iowa. And so I'm right on the river. I can see the river from my window. And there's a huge difference just crossing the state line. I'm really excited that President Obama finally kind of came out in support of marriage equality. We're not talking about same-sex marriage. We're talking about same-gender marriage. We're talking about marriage equality.
And the difference being that in the law between Illinois and Iowa, do you have parishioners who cross that river to gay parishioners who marry in Iowa?
Absolutely. And folks who are not in my church but who are looking for someone to do the ceremony for them, even though the law in Illinois has changed and allows civil union, mm-hmm. people who live in Illinois are still crossing the river and getting married in Iowa because it's legal marriage. And then they come back to their home county here in Illinois and register their marriage as a civil union in the state of Illinois because the state of Illinois does not recognize it as a marriage.
Well, we've got such a crazy quilt of policies now. It looks like that's going to go on for a while, but it's changing all the time. Ruby, I appreciate your call as well. Karen, stick with us if you will. I want to go to North Carolina and Rick Thames. He's editor of the Charlotte Observer in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Democratic Party will have its nominating convention to put the president formally on the ballot later this year. They voted this week in North Carolina against gay marriage and civil unions, for that matter, to put it right in the Constitution. Rick Thames is editor there. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
So what do you make of this? North Carolina, big and very important swing state, and you get the president's announcement, declaration, and the North Carolina vote in the same week. Does it mean he's lost North Carolina?
No, not at all. I think this may surprise a lot of people, but I don't think this will be the defining issue for most North Carolinians. Same as the rest of the country, I think it will be about the economy. A good chunk of the people who voted for this amendment at the end of the day, I think, they're much more concerned about jobs, and I think it will just depend on where the economy is at that point.
And yet you had such a big margin in favor of restrictions on gay marriage right in the Constitution just 2 days ago, Rick.
Well, it was a big margin. It was 61% to 39%. But if you look at other votes in other southern states previously, it was not as wide a margin as it had been in those places. In South Carolina, it was 78%, and Mississippi was 86%. And we've tracked sort of a change of attitude in North Carolina now that's been going on for some time. I think it's still underway. I also think that a good chunk of those voters who went out and voted for this amendment were African-American voters. And come November, given a choice, they're still going to support Obama.
Karen, tell me, how important is North Carolina in the big electoral college scoreboard this fall? And what about it? Can you see African-Americans going against gay marriage this week for President Obama in November?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that is likely to happen. And quite frankly, I am also wondering whether the president's switch on this issue is going to change the dynamic within the African-American community? Because a lot of African-American ministers have also sort of softened their resistance in recent years to gay unions of one type or another. But to me, it is just really hard to imagine that African-American voters would turn their backs on the first African-American president over this. And North Carolina is very important. And if North Carolina does end up going Democratic, I think most political analysts think the ball game is over. But there are, the Obama campaign will say a number of paths to the Electoral College.
Rick, how do you think the GOP will work this issue in North Carolina then?
Well, I think they'll work it fairly delicately because this is more about religious connections, I think, than it is about political lines. And so I think we have a former mayor of Charlotte who's running for governor, and at this point he looks to be the front runner, and he is a Republican, and he has quietly said that he was in favor of the amendment, but he's not making much of it.
And on the Democratic side, what's the messaging that brings the votes back in November here? Is it strictly stand by your man? Do you think people will just sort of forget the gay marriage thing by November time, or doesn't work that way?
I think that by and large, people will get focused on the other issues, and that while this will be a defining issue for some voters, there'll be a segment of voters for whom this will matter enough that they will vote singly on this issue. Most voters will look at the broader picture. An interesting outcome of the primary on Tuesday was to look at how many people voted for Obama in the Democratic primary and how many people voted for Mitt Romney. And in fact, Romney took only 65% of the vote, even though it's a foregone conclusion that he's the nominee. Obama took 79% of the vote. So there's an indication there, I think, in terms of favorability at this point.
Let's go to West Palm Beach, Florida, and Estelle. Estelle, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. I think it behooves us to objectively research the history of extinct now civilizations who, when homosexuality was normalized in these societies, their civilizations declined, and I'm thinking specifically of the Greek and Roman civilizations.
What about all the civilizations where it wasn't normalized and they're gone too? I mean, civilizations do tend to go after a while, don't they?
Good point. But specifically those, the Greeks and Romans who did, conquer much of the world.
So you think it's a sign of like the civilizational end times or something? You go this route and you're done?
Perhaps. But also, before, taking down walls, find out why they were put up in the first place. And children, too, have to be considered.
Estelle, would you base your vote in November on this issue, or are you going to be looking at the bigger economy when that rolls around?
Well, this issue and many other issues where I feel our president and his party has failed us in our country.
Estelle, thanks for calling. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Joseph, also in West Palm Beach, Florida. Joseph, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that, as has been the case in the last 3 years, President Obama showed character and integrity, despite what political downfall this might bring to him. He had the guts to speak his mind. Gay people have rights just like everybody else does. The bigger picture is that the Republicans have lost any integrity and character that they may have once had. They will do anything and everything to bring us back to the 18th century. You can't keep stepping on people. They're going to eventually fight back.
Joseph, we got it. And the time is short. I want to get a couple more. Thank you for that. Des Moines, Iowa. Andy, you're on the air, Andy.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
I just wanted to be quick and say that, I'm 24 years old. For my generation, it's really not an issue. And until yesterday, I was pretty ambivalent between Romney and Obama. But I'm going to go ahead and support Obama because of this. And I just don't think it's going to be an issue in November.
And you really, honestly, truly were on the fence and this will decide it for you?
Absolutely. Just because I was probably leaning towards Obama.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready to say I was going to vote for him, and I was probably just going to write someone in or leave it blank. But this, it's just not an issue for me and for my generation, and I think it's going to, if anything, just energize young people.
Common sense, says Andy in Des Moines. Andy, thanks. And one last, Alicia in Omaha, Nebraska. Alicia, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
I just wanted to say that I'm incredibly proud of President Obama for what he said. I think it was an incredibly brave thing for him to have come out and done to state what he thinks is morally and ethically right over what people think should be religiously correct. This has nothing to do with religion, or it shouldn't. And, you know, people need to start thinking about how they would want other people to treat them if that's, you know, what they chose to do. You didn't used to be able to marry blacks and whites, and, you know, it doesn't make sense. And I'm just incredibly proud of him, and I will support him again this election.
Alicia, we've got it, and I thank you for that. Karen Timmeldy, what are you guessing here? Are we going to hear a lot about this, let's say, in the convention speech that the president gives? Will it become part of his stump speech, or is it yesterday's statement and then kind of quiet, but everybody's heard it?
Well, there is a big fundraiser tonight in Hollywood, and you're likely to hear a lot about it at George Clooney's house. But I don't think that this is going to overwhelm other issues. And I think there's a real danger for both sides that if it does, because voters who are worried about hanging on to their jobs are going to say, hey, you know, keep your eye on the ball here.
What are you talking about? Let's get down. Of course, nobody knows what the economy is going to look like in November, Rick Tem. So marginal things, if this is marginal, can still be pretty important.
It can flavor things. I think it can make a difference. But I agree that this is all about the economy. In North Carolina, the economy is slightly improving, not a great deal, but it's a bit better than it was a few months ago. And it just depends on what happens between now and then.
So do you think the president gets more of a sheen from this, of principled leader, or more of a checkered target on his back by Republicans saying, no, we don't want that path?
I think he definitely gets a plus mark from younger voters. And I think younger voters like the one we just heard, this could make a big difference to them. I think among older voters, they will look at it. A few will make a decision based on it, but most will make their decision on other issues.
Well, a lot of people looking at this and thinking history. Of course, history gets made every time there's a presidential election, and one of those coming right up as well. Rick Tems is editor of the Charlotte Observer, where the Democratic Party will have its nominating convention. This summer, he joined us from Charlotte. Rick, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thank you.
And Karen Timmeldy, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Karen, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.